The topic of fasting has been popular lately. We even have a group from the parish exploring how we can fast for different reasons and spiritual disciplines. Deacon Josh gave a talk to that group when he first arrived in June. But it's also a secular topic. Now, fasting is pretty popular, like intermittent fasting and fasting not just on water, and some people do it for some hours every day or a couple days a week or for long stints for different purposes, and there can be certain benefits, especially health benefits for the secular group, and then spiritual benefits for those who practice fasting for their faith. And I was talking to a friend about his experience of fasting, and he does longer stints just with water. And I was asking him, how do you do it? Doesn't it just kill you as you keep going further and further, longer, day after day after day? And he said something that somewhat surprised me. He said, after about the second or third day, you just stop wanting food. That your hunger kind of dries up. And then the following days become much easier. And I thought that was a scary comment. What if I stopped being hungry? What if I stopped being thirsty? Those things actually motivate me for my health. I'm hungry because I need nourishment. Now, certainly I can go way overboard and how much I'm taking in, but hunger is a good thing. Thirst is a good thing. They're motivators that would push us toward a temperate good, a reception of nourishment. Certainly fasting can have good experiences and good things that happen to us when we do it. But we must be careful that we don't knock out some of the other good things that the Lord intends for us. I've been thinking about now entering into August. We're in our like 6 month of pandemic and how we practice our faith. And I saw these principles playing in this continued experience of our faith as well. Certainly, not being able to practice our faith as we would fully like and as we were accustomed to, it can actually have some benefits like fasting. We had to rethink and practice things in our homes and in different ways, and that could actually have a benefit. It could teach me, wow, I can pray at home, and maybe I should have been praying at home more. So the fasting that we've had to go through in certain practices of our faith during the pandemic have had some benefit, I think. More prayer, more family time, praying in different ways that have taught us different principles. But I think it can also have a negative effect too, and that's what I'm worried about. I think there are kind of three camps of people as we move forward with the unknown of how long we'll have to practice our faith like this. In the first group, they're the ones who have been hungry throughout the pandemic. They've wanted to practice their faith when we were able to open up the churches and practice public masses again. They were the first ones to come. They were just always longing and participating and practicing their faith as best they could. That's the first camp. The second camp is similar. They've wanted to practice their faith, but maybe they have reservations, and rightly so, and they haven't been able to come back to church yet, but they're live streaming, and they're coming for communion, and they're praying in their homes, and they're continuing to practice their faith and build that hunger for the Lord. But I'm afraid that there's a third group, not just at our church, but probably throughout the world, that hasn't been able to practice their faith as they were used to, and there's no obligation to come to church. And after the first month and the second month, their hunger and their thirst maybe started to dry up. And they realized, wow, I can get along okay in life without my faith. I haven't been struck down yet. I haven't had some huge calamity in my life of prayer or faith. And their hunger and their thirst for the Lord might be diminishing. And that's a scary thing. That's one thing that I'm really worried about as we move forward without any kind of end in sight. I hope and I pray that that group would eventually come back, that they would eventually come into the practice of their faith in safe ways when they feel is the right time, certainly, but that they not abandon it altogether because they've been able to just get by. And our readings today talk about that hunger and thirst that the Lord puts in our hearts so that He alone can satisfy it. In the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, "All who are thirsty, come to the water. Come without pain, come without price, drink wine and milk. You shall eat well, you shall delight in rich fare." The Lord spreads a banquet before us that our hunger and our thirst would be satisfied only in Him, not in any other entertainment, not in any other person, but only in Him. It's why He feeds the masses today in the gospel. He feeds 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He feeds them in a physical way, but also in a spiritual way, because they were hungering for more than bread. They were thirsting for more than this earth could satisfy. And our Lord, in multiplying these fishes and loaves, is able to satisfy their deepest longings of the soul. It's what He does. We can ask, as Paul does here, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Paul gives a litany. Can anguish, can distress, can persecution, can famine, can pandemic, can peril, can the sword, can any of those separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says, no, none of those things, none of those privations or deprivations can separate us from the love of Christ. In all of these things, we conquer overwhelmingly through Him who loved us. When we are in famine, when we are in peril, when we are persecuted, those aren't necessarily bad things. They're actually times when I begin to understand more fully my hunger and my thirst. And they can push me toward a greater faith and a greater satisfaction that can only come from the Lord. I'm more scared when things are going okay, when there's not famine and people aren't hungry, when there's not persecution, when there's not peril, when there's not pandemic, and people think they're okay just getting by, and they actually don't hunger, they don't thirst for much because they don't know, perhaps, their deepest needs. It's a good thing to know my need for the Lord. But if I fill that need with other things besides Him, that's a dangerous thing. I'm a little worried when the NFL season starts back up and football's back on Sundays and there's no obligation to attend Mass. Will people choose to come or to live stream? Or will people say, I'm getting by okay and there's no obligation? I'm worried that people might forget the hunger and the thirst that every human soul has for the Lord. And He alone can fill that need. He alone can satisfy. And so perhaps there are people in our lives who we can encourage by a witness of faith, by a testimony to say, this is how I've been practicing my faith in these uncertain times, in these perilous times, in this time of famine. How have you been doing it? Ask that question, reach out that olive branch, so that those who might have been on the fringe at the beginning might be pulled back more deeply into the fold, that we would continue to practice as one body, whether everyone's able to come here or live stream or whatever it be, that everyone would only have their hunger and their thirst satisfied by God. And so today we encounter that God who loves us. We come to him, the feast, the banquet that he set before us in the Eucharist, and we tell him, Lord, you alone can satisfy my longing heart.